If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans 15, verse 5. I'm going to read 5, 6, and 7. And it says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us, to the glory of God." Now when I talk about Jesus and me, some of the stuff I've read, they talk about this big word you've all heard, you know, individualism, and how individualism's creeping into Christianity, and that's true somewhat. And it's beginning to cause a problem. Now, the way I've seen this even happening, just when I go jogging in the mornings, you know, first of all, just in my house, I got this little neighborhood with his house, and there's all these other little houses in there with these big high fences around all of them, so nobody has to see anybody else. And, you know, you pull into your garage and push the garage door opener in your car so the garage door shuts so nobody has to see it. I go jogging and I'm running down Robinson, and I notice there, you know, the sidewalk's up high, and I'm kind of running on the sidewalk, and you can kind of see over some of the houses. And I was running along the other day and noticing that I heard some guys banging on the fence. They were hammering, and I noticed that, you know, the fence that faces out to the street, but then I noticed they were putting up fence slats up on the other side of their fence, you know, like facing their house or the back of their house or something. They're sticking up a lot higher. And I thought, what are they doing? And then I began to notice that kind of in the cracks in the slats down low, I could still see through. So they weren't like putting up big, tall slats. The guys were just like taking part of a fence slat and nailing on the top, you know, the top deal going across their fence so the fence would be a whole lot higher. And the only thing I can think of is, I was probably jogging by one day, and some guy was sitting in his kitchen or something and looked up and saw my head and thought, he can see my house. He can see my backyard. I better put this fence up higher so they can't see in. That's the only thing I can think of. It's like they're building this little false fence a little higher so nobody can see in. Because we want our privacy. We just kind of want to be to ourselves. And that's begin to kind of come into the Christian body somewhat. And there's some valid things I'm going to share with you here, but it kind of illustrates the problem. Like, probably about everybody here at some point in time has had to, somebody's been preaching or talking to you and or leading you to Christ or having you pray, and they have you quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And then they say, "Okay, now take the world out and personalize it. Put your name in there. For God so loved Derek Gregory that He gave His only begotten Son." And that's fine, because God does love me. Jesus loves me. He does. And for God so loved Derek Gregory. But kind of subtly, we've begun to have this idea that it's more about God loves Derek Gregory than about the world. And I begin to think more about me and him instead of us. So the focus is kind of shifting a little bit. And one of the thing about that is when we say Jesus loves Derek Gregory, or for God so loved Derek Gregory, that's fine, but that is not what it says. It does not say that. It says for God so loved the world. And people have said, you know, if you were the only person on the face of the earth, God would have still sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And it's right, it's valid, but the only thing is, you're not. You're not the only person on the face of the earth, and I am not. And you never will be. You will never be the only person on the face of the earth. And in fact, at the point in time, a long time ago, when there was just one person on the face of the earth, he wasn't by himself very long. He really wasn't. So this individualism, kind of this privacy thing, has kind of started to come in a little bit. We may not see that a whole lot around here, but I mean, we talk about, you know, our personal relationship with Christ and that kind of thing, and that's fine. And that's good, but still, you can see how it's beginning somewhat to take away from this concept of we, Jesus, and me. Now, just some examples of this. Even around here, This is something I do a whole bunch. This is some examples of how we kind of think about me and that kind of thing. You know, like I talk about my team. You know, this is my ministry team. These are my guys. And that's, you know, that's fine. I mean, I'm working with them, that's okay, but there can be some problems there even. Like, for instance, let's say old Glenn Tolentino, he's been one of my guys, you know, for quite a while. Let's say Glenn is God's working in his life and he's just needing to work through some stuff. And so he comes and he talks to Dick Jaques. And I'm coming up the stairs over here, you know, and I see him walking out of the office with Dick, and I think, wait a minute, that's my guy. What's he doing talking with Dick about counseling? He's supposed to come to me and talk to me. That's my guy. Well, that can kind of begin to happen sometimes. You start thinking about guys as my guys. And the problem is he probably needed to go talk to Dick a lot more than he needed to come talk to me, because, you know, if he just come talk, Dick has a lot more skills and strengths in other areas where I don't. And if I start thinking about guys just as my guys, they got to come to me for help. Well, you know, they may end up being just like me and have the same problems I do, and that'd be a mess. Glenn doesn't want the problems I have. You know, that's probably why he's going to Dick in the first place. So, because then after he left, then I went in and talked to Dick. But I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but we are not, it's not just us and God and then my guys, but we're a body. I had Vanessa sing that song for a purpose, but we're in this together. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But some other ways we see this. Like there's this song that I like the music too, and I kind of like the song. And you might have heard this Glenn Campbell song that he sang after he accepted Christ. And it says, or he sings, "The greatest love story under heaven is Jesus and me." And it's got this great, you know, guitar line there. It's fun. But anyway, you know, it's Jesus and me. The greatest love story is Jesus and me. And you can see how it's true, but it's also just focusing just on Jesus and me. Or another song that sometimes I kind of change the words to songs we're singing. I haven't told John about this. But, you know, like we sing, you know, he brought me to his banqueting table. He brought me to his banqueting table. That's true. I am going to be there, and he loves me enough, me, with all my problems. He loves me enough to bring me there, but he's not just bringing me to the banqueting table. He's going to bring us to the banqueting table. We're all going to be there. And sometimes if we sing too much about just me and Jesus, we forget that. And that causes some other problems. Because God is working in us, and he's bringing us to something that's more, that's larger than just me and him. Does anybody know what the word, there's a prophecy about Jesus that said he'll be called Emmanuel. Does anybody know what that means?
God with us.
God with us. Not just God with me, God with us. So he's doing something greater than just between me and him. I asked somebody to look up 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Could you stand up and read that boldly and loudly?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
Okay. You can see that in that verse that God is comforting us in our afflictions, but not just so we can be comforted and be healed and be well. But what does that verse, what does that say? He's comforting us in our afflictions so that we can then comfort somebody else that's suffering the same thing we are. There's a greater thing there than God just working in my life for me, for my relationship with Him, for me to be blessed, for me to be well and healed and fulfilled. But he's doing things in us, and he blesses us. There's a verse in Psalm 67:7. It says, God blesses us that the ends of the earth may fear him. There's always something more going on in his mind when he's working in our lives. When we have this personal relationship with Christ, and we're having a quiet time, and he's doing things in us and he's working in us, that's for a greater purpose than just because I'm the only person on the face of the earth that he loves, but he wants me to be out then working among people and also within his body, which is what we're talking about tonight. I heard this great illustration this week that shows this. And there's There's a big competition up in Canada. It's like this big draft horse pulling competition thing. And you know, they don't do tractor pulls. They do these horses, big horses. And anyway, the horse that won pulled 20,000 pounds. I mean, I guess they got to pull them a certain distance or something. Pulled 20,000 pounds that distance. The horse that came in second place pulled 15,000 pounds. And so somebody thought, you know, that'd be kind of a neat idea. Why don't we team up these horses and see how much they can pull? You know, each individually, 20,000, 15,000, you know, 35,000 pounds. Let's put them together and see what they can pull. So they put them together. And those two horses that individually had pulled, you know, some of 35,000 pounds, pulled 100,000 pounds. Whoa. That's amazing, really. But that's the idea of, you know, God wants us to be together in a body, because we're just not going to be able to do a whole lot really impressive. It may be kind of good or sound impressive, but when it's together as a team in a body, it's going to be a lot more. I also had somebody look up 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Can you stand up and read that? Oh yeah, and you all have heard this verse, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. It also says over in Titus 2, verse 14, it says, who gave himself, is talking about Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession. So God is in the process of working in my life, but in the midst of that, he's purifying himself a people, not just me, but a people. It also says over in 1 Peter verse 2 and 4 and 5, and coming to him as to a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But we as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. Now, if you think about this, you got these stones that have been cut. They're sitting out in the quarry, you know, and you go out there and you see these stones laying around. They're cut well. They look good, but it doesn't do a whole lot. It doesn't serve much purpose. But the only purpose they have is to be fit together into a wall. It's going to make a building and serve a greater purpose. And one other thing under this is just the fact that, you know, Jesus in one place said, come, follow me. But is there something that comes after that? What comes after that? Okay. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't just say, follow me. Have this great relationship with me. But follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So there's this kind of this individualism that's creeped in. But what we're to be, we're to be really, really to be involved with the body. You know, I had Vanessa sing this song, and it really is true. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ, his body that he had, that died on the cross for us and then rose from the dead to pay the penalty for our sins. But then also, us as believers, as God's people, it's a beautiful thing that God takes all of us. And when we come into his kingdom, and he puts us together and makes something beautiful out of us. Now, you know, just me, you know, and my problems, if I just hook up with Glenn over there, you know, and his problems, and that, I mean, not necessarily be a lot beautiful a thing. Then you put the Spirit of God in that mix, and it can become a beautiful thing. There's another song that I've heard, you know, it says, you're the only Jesus that some will ever see. And there's some validity there and some truth there too, but that shouldn't necessarily be the case at the time, because people are to, and that's, there's a song we sing, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, call his name Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. God, just I myself cannot present a total complete picture of Christ. I can serve as Christ served and do things, but when people see the body together, he is revealed in us. John 13:35. or 34 and 35, the new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. And there's an amazing thing. He said, people are going to know that you are my disciples by the way you act with each other, the way you love each other within the body. Over in 1 Corinthians 12, and there's a lot there that talks about the body. I want to read just two verses, verse 13 and 14. It says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So we've been baptized by one Spirit into one body. Back over to Romans 15, where I read earlier. We are to be of the same mind with one another, that with one accord we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to accept one another. And that one another means everybody in the body of Christ. Not just the ones who we get along with well, but everybody. And He's also given us gifts. He's given us gifts to each member as He desired. But one thing about these gifts, now some of y'all may be working on spiritual gifts, trying to figure them out. Sometimes it can take a little time. But it's very important that you know that. Because, you know, gifts, one reason that's why God gave them to you is for you to function within the body. The other thing is, even if you know your gift, if you're not using it, it doesn't matter. A gift, our spiritual gifts have no significance outside of the body. You know, let's say I were to, I'm walking through Walmart, you know, picking up some stuff, and I see something here, and I think, that's a great gift. That's fabulous. I'm going to get that gift. I get it, and I go put it in my trunk. I forget about it. You know, and sometime, you know, I gotta pick up Max or something, and I'm taking him someplace, you know, or taking him to the airport. Go up and open the trunk so he can put his luggage in. He says, hey, Derek, what's in that sack there? And I said, oh, man, look at this. This is a great gift, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, who are you going to give that to? I'm not going to give it to anybody. It's just a great gift. I thought it was a great gift. So I bought it. You know, that would fit under the phrase, you know, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. That might be what comes out of Max's mouth, you know. Derek, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You know, a gift has no significance, yet it to be given to somebody to be used. Spiritual gift has no significance outside of the body of Christ. You know, He didn't give us a gift, spiritual gift, just so we can sit in our room. And the gifts He gave have to be used in the body. So in being involved with the body, I'm going to talk about just some practical things now. I've talked about some of this stuff, but we need to be involved with the body. So if some of you have come here to school and you're not really found a church or anything like that, you're not really involved somewhere. We're involved with the BSU here, but we're not a church. We're members of a body, but we're not really a church. You need to find a church that you can be involved with and plug into and use your gift in. And you need to be working on finding out what your gift is so you can be using it for the body of Christ, that the body of Christ will be beautiful like God desires it to be. Now, one other thing here that I want to talk about is that, you know, God is doing something greater. I've said this, something greater than just working in our own lives. And He also, there's a bigger body than just Jesus and me and a few select friends. Mike Thompson has used that phrase. The reason that's to be is it's really easy for us to pick kind of the few people we get along with well, and that's kind of who we hang around, you know. And that guy over there, yeah, he's a Christian, but man, I have some problems. I try not to do anything with him. Well, we are to accept one another just as Christ also accepted us. One of the great reasons for that is it's very easy to love when it's just Jesus and me and a few select friends. I mean, that doesn't push me too hard. I don't have to grow much in the area of love. When I begin to have to accept everybody in the body, that forces me to love some people that I might not just choose to love on my own. That's one of the things God is doing. Now, the last thing here is we're to be encouraging others in the body of Christ. It says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another." We're to be encouraging one another. Sometimes that takes perseverance, but we're to be encouraging one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called a day, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Now this has been sticking out in my mind lately, and for one specific reason. With the DT ministry team, we've done a thing each week. It's Julie's idea, and it's been a great idea. But each week, a couple people on our team, we just take out a few minutes and we encourage them. We honor them. So we find some things about them that we can encourage them in, compliment them. And just about everybody on my team at some point has come to me and said, "Well, it's kind of uncomfortable. It's hard to take a compliment." Why should it be hard for someone in the body of Christ, if we're to be encouraging one another day after day, as long as it's still called a day, why should it be hard for us to take some encouragement and some compliments? Well, and I'll give you an example of this in my own life. It's a great illustration, but I'm finding out, and you listen to what people are saying, it's a lot easier. We look more for opportunities to cut one another down or kind of work in a little joking barb, you know, about somebody. We look more for that opportunity than we do to encourage each other. And so it's gotten to the point when we do that. I mean, it's fine. We have fun, you know, we kid each other and joke each other. But usually it's not an encouraging thing necessarily, but we make it funny. And we laugh about it. But it's gotten to the point where even in the body of Christ, it's a lot easier for us to take that than it is for us to take somebody just coming up and saying something nice about you. And we kind of, wow, thanks. We don't know how to take that because it's a lot easier for us because that's what we're doing all the time. Now this is the other day, you know, we're up at First Southern Del City taking this course and we're eating lunch. So I get my tray and I'm walking over and most of the places are taken and I see a spot by Linda. Linda, by the way, is getting married pretty soon and we're excited. But anyway, you gotta tell her, every time you see her, just say, "Hey, Linda, you're getting married." Be excited. She loves it. Anyway, I'm sitting there. I said, "Hey, Linda, can I sit next to you?" And she's like, "Sure." And Otis Compton is another good friend of mine, who's the BSU director at OBU, was sitting there. And he started pushing his stuff over right where I was going to set my stuff down, you know, kind of like pushing there so I couldn't put it down. So I said, "Linda, you know, can I sit to you?" "Yeah, sure, Derek, that's great." And Otis pushed his stuff over, and I said, "Hey, Otis, why don't you pick your stuff up and move to another table?" Now, like a minute before that, I'd just been talking with Dick, getting some counseling. No, I was talking with Dick, and I said, "You know, I'm really noticing that we look more for opportunities to really kind of slam somebody and instead of encouraging them." And a minute later, I walk over. "Otis, why don't you pick your stuff up and move to another table?" And it just comes out so naturally, you know. And just about all of us do it. Well, I think we need to change that. You know, when people look at the body of Christ, they need to see Christ. There's a guy there that's teaching this course we're doing, or one of the teachers, and he said something that, you know, kind of, I mean, you hate to say it, and he hated to say it, but he said, you know, he's worked with Baptists all his life, so he said, "You know, with what I know about what goes on in Baptist churches, I'm amazed anybody would want to become a Christian." And, you know, sometimes you think about that kind of stuff, and sometimes it is amazing, because people, when they look at us as the body of Christ, a lot of times they don't see a whole lot of difference, you know, or we can cut somebody down just as good as the rest of them. But here's how to encourage. One thing to do, there's a practical application I started doing on my ministry team, and we forget about it every now and then, but here's what we ought to start trying to do. Every time you hear somebody, we need to agree on this together as a body. We need to be of the same mind here. But let's say when you hear somebody kind of slams, let's say Linda's sitting next to me and I say, "Otis, why don't you just pick up your stuff and move to another table?" Then right then, we need to be of the same mind on this, but Linda should say to me, "Well, Derek, And I don't think that was a real encouraging thing. You need to say three nice things about Otis. Now we do this on my team, and you know, it's been pretty effective. We don't, right? You think? I mean, a lot of times people hate it when someone says, you need to say three nice things about that person. Now we don't need to go looking, you know, like for something that we try to turn it into really, you know, discouraging somebody. But all the same, you know, we ought to start doing that together as a whole BSU. You know, you hear somebody kind of find that great little wisecrack and make it about somebody, and you hear them, just say, you know, I think you ought to say three nice things about that person. And you know what that does? That really cuts down on kind of saying these things about each other. And then the amazing thing that can happen is you kind of begin to feel a little more unity. And, you know, because sometimes you say little things and you may not know that it bothers somebody, but yet inside that person is thinking, wow, they're right. Yeah, I am that way. It can cause some real problems. And remember this verse, Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. That doesn't leave much chance for us to not do that. It kind of covered the base there. As long as it's today, encourage somebody, you know. When is it not today? I had a great conversation about that with my kids. You know, Joshua woke up this morning and said, is it today? Yeah. You ought to try talking to a three-year-old about that. Yeah, it's today, and then tomorrow's not today yet, but tomorrow it'll be today when we get to tomorrow. You know, you can't really do that. So each morning you gotta re-clarify that. You know, okay, now, Joshua, this is today. Today is today. But yesterday's gone. Yesterday's not today anymore. Anyway, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And, you know, it could be some people in the body are having a hard time being real sensitive to God, or maybe you miss picking up something God's trying to say to you because you're kind of just being hardened a little bit. And I think we start saying three nice things about each other. That'll help us maybe not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, because I don't want to see that happen. Another thing is just, okay, so we need to be encouraging each other. How do you encourage somebody? Some of you may not really know how. It's a lot easier for we've practiced so long, finding that little thing to cut somebody down. Well, here's a great thing to start doing. Start learning some character qualities. All kinds of character qualities. Just find as many as you can. And then, to encourage somebody, find one of these character qualities that they're showing in their life and say, you know, I really enjoyed seeing, you know, your teachable spirit. You've been teachable. Or, boy, you know, I have such a hard time, you know, getting someplace, getting a ministry team on time, and I sure like to see your punctualness. I mean, you're punctual. You're here on time all the time. That challenges me. And, you know, find there's all kinds of character qualities. I've got a list downstairs I can give you. It's got, I don't know, 64 or something like that on it. It gives you a good place to start. And you start looking through those and begin looking for those things in people's lives and then just mentioning that to them. You know, I've seen that in your life. And that will encourage them. And then we'll kind of get used to taking encouragement. Another thing, just being involved with the body, at least while you're here, is, you know, like Joanna was talking about, we've got a group going out different places. We got a big team going to Cambodia. And we're not all going to Cambodia, but there's eight that are going into Cambodia and some other places. Now Psalm 67:7 says, God blesses us that the ends of the earth may fear Him, and we're to be of the same mind with one another and of the same accord, with one voice glorifying God. Well, one of the ways we can do that is just being involved in what God is doing in the world. Because the Bible does say, for God so loved the world. Now, He loves me, and He loves you, and He loves every individual person, but He's purifying Himself a people. And those peoples are in Cambodia, and these other places we're going. So you can be part of that. You may not be able to give a whole lot financially, but you can give something, maybe. You can be praying for them, and finding out how to pray for them, and be involved with what God's doing in the world, even though you still may be here working. Another thing is, you come to the summer training program, and encourage you all to, I think there's going to be a sign up for that. Sign up for that tonight. When you come out there, you're going to get this little thing called a prayer notebook. A prayer notebook. Now, you know, it would be a great thing to be involved with what God's doing in the body, to take that prayer notebook and use it and pray for the people in the prayer request they put in the prayer notebook. Now, we give those out, and I don't know how many people use it and pray through it and stuff. I know some of you do, and I didn't always do that when I got them all the time. But here's a great way to be involved with the body, be building up the body, is praying for each other. I mean, really praying for each other and being about that. Another thing that I've been learning this week is one of the main things we're to be about as a body, as we're glorifying God and worshiping God, is making His name known to people who don't know Him. It's not just standing here, and we had some great songs today. That was great how we were worshiping God. But it doesn't just happen right here, but part of our worship and glorifying of God is going to talk to somebody who lives in the dorm down our hall or something and letting them know what Christ has done for him. He's a creator, redeemer, the lamb for sinners slain. Now, one last thing, we're just about done. This is an important thing. Now, some of y'all, it may be kind of hard to be fitting into the body of Christ. And one of those reasons may be is that you really don't know Christ. You haven't yet been, you know, the Spirit hadn't entered your life as you accept Christ and baptized you into that body. And so it's really hard. And I'm sure there's somebody here that's the case. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and you think about this. The first question is, you think hard about these. And if you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die tonight, something were to happen to you, you'd go to heaven. And another question would be, let's say something does happen. Suppose you die tonight. And you were to stand before God and you were to say, well, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to Him? Okay, now something's coming to your mind. Now that second question there, maybe the first question you said, well, no, I really don't know for certain. Then on the second question, maybe if the first thing, what would I say to God? Maybe you thought, ooh, I'm not sure. Or maybe you thought, well, I mean, I've been going to church all my life, and I've just always been a Christian. Or I might have said, I don't know, I don't have any clue. Well, if you answer that first question no, or you answer that second question with one of those answers, well, I'm not sure, or I've just always been a Christian, something like that. When we're done, I want you to come over here and talk to me. I'm not going to have you raise your hands or anything, but and if you thought that and you really want to know for certain, or if you're not sure what the answer might be, you don't know what you'd say to God, I want you to come talk to me right over here when we're done. Because you can know and you can become part of the body of Christ and be part of this beautiful body of Christ. There is nothing more exciting than being part of the body of Christ. And having this group that encourages each other and helps each other and shows Christ to other people. And we saw, you know, at the Glen, it was a great example of just seeing how the body of Christ worked together. And even when those of us were on that bus that burned, and even the bus driver said, man, this group isn't like any other group I've ever had. I mean, if that would happen to any other group I'd ever taken, they'd have packed it up and gone home and complained. But he saw something different because there's a body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. And it shows Christ to people and what Christ can do in our lives. And then even, you know, we helped each other out. You know, some people lost some stuff. Some people lost a lot of money, didn't have any cash. We helped them out. I mean, we're helping each other out. You know, in Acts, it really talks about that. How he had everything, shared everything in common and sold stuff and just gave to people as they needed it. You know, that was a real biblical thing that we did. So the body of Christ is a great thing. I've even seen it this week. Tuesday night, we're doing some evangelism training and stuff. So Tuesday night, they send us all out. We're going to go talk to people about Jesus. We didn't have any names of people or anything like that. They just said, guys, sick them. Just go get them. Actually, they didn't say sick them. They just said, let's go talk to people as God leads. And I mean, we're not apt to sit here and pound on somebody's head, but if it seems like God's doing something in their life, let's tell them about Jesus. Well, that night, we came back, and from just where we'd gone out in about an hour, just finding people, out knocking on doors, going to laundromats, apartment houses, stuff like that, 25 people prayed to ask Christ into their life and trusted Him for eternal life that night. Man, you talk about great to get back together, you know, as a group, as a body, and say, man, look what happened tonight. I mean, we're excited. And it's a neat thing to be part of the body of Christ. So, the practical applications of some of this, mostly as I boil it down, is think about encouraging each other. And just one little thing out of this whole thing about being in the body of Christ and how it's such a beautiful thing. I just want to boil it down to one thing. Let's just think about encouraging one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. Lest any one of us be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And be thinking about how we're in something greater than just, it's not just Jesus and me, but it's Jesus and us. And He's purifying Himself for a people, and He's called us to that. And there is nothing more exciting than that. And now, if any of you had some answers to those questions that you're confused about or something, as soon as we're done, I'll be right over here, and I want you to come talk to me, because I'm concerned for you, and I want you to know for sure that you're a part of this body of Christ, and you're experiencing that. Let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You and I praise You for what You have done in my life and in these other people's lives here who know You and know You for certain. And I thank You that You have loved me with an everlasting love. And Father, I also praise You that it's not just me alone, but You've put me into Your body. And I don't have to do it on my own. But I've got people around me who are helping me and who are encouraging each other. And in Your body as a whole, and the church is working together towards the great purpose of seeing Your name lifted up and glorified in all the nations. And Father, I thank You for that privilege of being in that. And I pray that what we've talked about tonight, which has been a lot of stuff in a hurry, but I pray that it would register in our minds, and we would begin to see even more and understand more clearly how we are part of the body of Christ. And that's a tremendous honor and privilege, and it's a tremendous thing for us to be part of what You're doing in the world. So give us a clearer understanding of that. And Father, if there's somebody here tonight who doesn't know if they're part of the body of Christ, who doesn't know for certain if they'd go to heaven to be with You when You bring Your body to heaven for eternity, or if they don't know what they'd say to You when they get there, Father, I pray You would help them to understand that. Help them come talk to me so they can understand how You offer that to us as a free gift. And we have the great honor of serving You with our lives and glorifying You and having a relationship with You. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.